Blog Talk Radio.
So much. If you have to close the door, one more will open. That is so beautiful.
Okay, this is Tony Nobiloni coming to you live from Minneapolis, Minnesota. And today, Peter Cook is going to be on again. We're blessed with his presence at about noon 15 Central Time. He'll be coming on to give us an update of what's happening, what's snapping in the world of beating cancer in the beat world, cancer world. And so if you'd like to call in and talk to Peter, and or if you'd like to call in and share your story, you're welcome. We'll be on for the next at least 90 minutes. I put the show out for 2 hours just in case we get callers and the show goes a little bit longer. I always like to have that little bit of extension just in case, so we may end it early. Let's see. So, an update. Now, if you hear anything in the background, it's because my lovely neighbors are working on fixing their car. You know, you got to have a car to get to work. So they're right out, literally right outside my window here. And they're, great young, hardworking kids just trying to, get those bills paid. So anyway, what we're doing is this is Beat World Cancer Kickstarter. We have 15 days left to go, and we wound up having a little bit of a glitch with our Kickstarter where lots of people had said that they tried to donate money or what do you call it, pledge, but that it didn't work out for them so well. And so what we decided, or I mean, Peter on his website had put a different option for people so that they could donate in a different way, and then it would work. I don't know how that works, so he'll explain it that in case, just in case. So there's a new website, so we'll be talking about that when Peter comes on. Let's see what else. Locally here, I talked to Schmidt Music, and they said if we get to phase two, they'll be more than happy to help us, which is good news. I talked to my friend down in Florida. Same thing. So we're getting more and more folks who are willing to put the venues on and that are going to be helping. But we're trying to encourage people to help us with this Kickstarter phase because the logistics to putting together a worldwide event, it costs money to do that. And to have professionals do it is much quicker than to have a bunch of volunteers who only have a limited time because they themselves have to work and put food on the table. So there are some great people before, but of course they charge money. And so that's what the purpose of the Kickstarter is. And then this will go on for a year, but it doesn't end there. Cancer will, unfortunately, cancer has been around for a long time, and I don't know if we'll ever beat it completely, but I hope we could. I hope we evolve enough that we could do something like that. But the reality is that, there's always things that are hostile to species in general, whether it's, whatever it is. I mean, there's always these little bugs. I mean, our whole body is made of bugs. I mean, have you ever seen that, oh, excuse me, the close-up of your eyelashes and all the little bugs that live on your eyelashes? It's kind of weird to think about that our whole body is made up of organisms. I mean, in our stomach, the flora and all the bugs that have to help us digest our food, and then we got things in and out, and what our organs, how they communicate with each other, and the stuff that's in our bloodstream, and anything we touch goes in our bloodstream. I mean, gosh, we're just like little filters. We filter the environment. We are also composting the environment. If you've ever learned about candida, and people don't realize that when you have a lot of candida buildup in your stomach, it's digesting the sugar, and it actually is addicted to the sugar, and so then they grow larger, and of course, to think about that they don't have outhouses down there, so it's like It's not like you gotta, I mean, you know, so it, I mean, biochemistry, biology, and all that stuff is very fascinating. And so in the science world, what we're hoping to do is to put together science and music and alternative measures and health consciousness. Speaking of that, I'll be having on Mark Hayward on Tuesday, which he's a wellness roadie. He's the wellness roadie on LinkedIn. And incidentally, I am the Goodwill Ambassador for Minneapolis, Minnesota on LinkedIn as well. And so this is one of my projects that I'm working on right now, and other projects that I've been working on, or that I had been working on, were, you know, bringing awareness to the epidemic of homeless children and bringing awareness to filling in some gaps that we need. But, you know, sometimes people fall through the cracks, especially in this world of cancer, that we have folks that are looking at terminal illness, where they're at a point where the treatment isn't working, and they maybe need maybe they don't have family members. They need a wraparound effort to give them the support they need as they exit into their next journey. You know, however, regarding your beliefs, if you believe in God, well, then you believe there's another place to go. And depending on what your family traditions are in faith and spirituality, different people believe different things. I happen to believe that, well, I'm not going to tell you my beliefs because everybody, it's all, I mean, I believe that, well, because I've had some strange things happen to me as a child where, you know, I was saved in that moped accident. There's really no explanation for that. So I believe something, there was a higher power there that saved my butt that day. There's just no other way. And you could listen to my earlier shows. I think it was the second show that I talked about this, or first or second show, but there's no other way to explain it. I didn't do that myself. I flew 240 feet, no helmet, no broken bones, no nothing, landed on my face. My face was swollen for 2 months. I had the white of my eye was red for 3 months and a week or something like that. And the doctors, everybody was shocked. That wasn't the first time that happened to me. There was another situation that I wound up in. And again, I was burned, three-degree burns. I shouldn't have survived this other accident, and I did. And so how did I survive those things? I don't know. And so I have tremendous faith. I could never deny my faith. I would never do that. And this is one of the reasons why I don't like to persecute anybody for their faith or anything, because what people believe is actually none of my business. I have my own set of beliefs, and so I just go with that, and I trust that there's something higher than myself. And no, I'm not perfect by any means. So anyway, with that, I believe we have Peter on, and we're going to get an update. Oh, hooray. Hello, is this Peter?
This is, yes. And how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Yes, I've just spent the day rescuing a pigeon from my chimney.
Oh. Well, I mean, maybe the pigeon has a message. Do you happen to have a pigeon translator on hand?
Well, my wife tried to speak to him in pigeon English, but he wasn't having it. No, we had this thing flapping around for a day or so, and I really thought it was it was a flashback for me to scene from The Exorcist. There was this sort of sound in the loft. I thought, oh my goodness. And then it was wings. Yeah, then I realized it was some wings.
Oh, that's
eventually
too
I thought,
funny.
It must be a pigeon. And so we thought, well, how are we going to get it out? Because it's quite difficult. But after a long sort of process of thinking, there's a tiny little hatch in the wall where it was an X chimney. And I opened it up, and there, when I put the light in, there's this thing staring at me. And then, of course, you've got to try and talk, persuade it to come out, and it didn't want to come out. And
aww.
I had a, well, I'll get some gloves on and see if I can get it out. But it was quite a well-fed pigeon, and I think it was too big for the hole. So we're puzzling. We spent about 2 hours doing this today. We're puzzling it out and thinking, what do we do? And it was having none of my encouragement to come out with the gloves, and I didn't think I'd get it out anyway. So then my wife looked on the internet, and it said that you could try encouraging it. So we put some seeds and some bread down and went, left the room for about half an hour, and I came back upstairs, and it's sitting on the chair.
Aww.
But then we had to catch it to get it out, and my goodness, it would not yield. But in the end, it did, and it's gone now.
Oh, bless that pigeon. Well, bless you guys for saving the pigeon. Now, you know, I think that's such it's a funny story because, I don't know, Nikola Tesla had had great relationships. I think it was with pigeons or doves. But birds are incredible creatures. I mean, I didn't know. I actually had cockatiels and trained them to talk, and they're very loving and smart creatures. I mean, anyway, well, good. I'm glad that the mystery is solved. Oh, that's funny.
I'm glad it wasn't the alternative.
Oh, what, a bat?
Well, I thought it was,
oh, that's right. That's right. Oh, yes,
an exorcist.
In that case, it would have been a whole nother situation.
We'd have had to get on the internet and typed in local exorcist, but we didn't.
My goodness.
Freeing pigeons was, I think, what we put into the internet, and that came some ideas, but there we go. Anyway, yes, we're here.
Awesome. Well, okay, so I played Patty Russo's new song, which I love, by the way, One Door Opens. It's a
fantastic.
Great song. Now, did you help her with that song?
No, not at all. No, it's been in her head for some time, and she got it down, sort of recorded a year or so ago, and it's been waiting to be released. But it is such an uplifting piece. And for her, if she were on the show, she would point out that it sort of symbolises in some ways her sort of turnaround towards being a solo artist. So a great song. I think the metaphor works in all sorts of ways. One door closes, another one opens. And I think that's very much in sync with what we've been thinking about and talking about for a little while now, around trying to open a few more doors and see if we can find out what's going on behind them. A beautiful song. Patty's in New York at the moment, so she's planning to come over here for the beginning concert of the series. So hopefully she'll do that then.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, Patty Russo, which I didn't mention earlier, was what you write, songstress with Queen and Meatloaf. And and now I don't know how long she was with Meatloaf, but I love this song. It's
years.
Absolutely gorgeous. Oh, okay.
Yeah, good 20 years with Meatloaf. So a long, long time to be doing that sort of thing. So, yeah. But now she's
well, it's great that she's
out.
Helping. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so now she's looking to sort of branch out and stand on her own 2 feet, really, because Meatloaf's sort of singing career is more or less coming to an end anyway. He's mainly doing TV these days, I think. So, I know she has a little trouble some of the higher notes these days.
Yeah, well, it's good that she can, that she's helping us and lending this song to the project, and I'm grateful that I got to debut it here on Blog Talk Radio, which is fascinating. Now, I did give a little bit of update as far as the little bit of progress that I made with making some connections. What do we have going on your end of the world with any sorts of project or progress?
Well, we've had a slightly frustrating week insofar as I discovered sort of the other day, and I'd sort of had a hint of this about a week and a half ago, but I didn't see it as significant. But it seems like people are having a bit of trouble actually pledging on the Kickstarter website themselves. I have been in touch with Kickstarter. I didn't get very far initially, but I have now spoken with their director of fundraising. And I have to say that that the plea to people is that they haven't got an answer, basically. But they've said, oh, if people experience problems, they should change browsers, or perhaps they haven't got any money in the bank. I wasn't overly impressed with that answer from Kickstarter, if I'm brutally honest. Changing browsers is fine. Most of the people I know that have tried to pledge certainly have money in the bank to pay, so it's not like their bank has refused to pay. I think Kickstarter are just perhaps furiously investigating what's going on with their website in the background, or I hope they are. I had hoped they might say that they would put a note out to those people that had tried to pledge and beg them to come back, because, you know, the fact that I've got a stream of emails from people. Bearing in mind we're all busy, I suspect the average person, if they can't do it on the first time, they probably leave, and they probably don't tell me that they've done that. So I just don't know at this point how many people have just walked off the site and gone. That is a worry to me. So I'll start with the worry. That's the sort of, you know, but the plea to people is to try a different browser, try again. It does work. I've tried it myself. It does work, but you have to be persistent. So that's the sort of the warning to people if they're trying to pledge. On the upside of things, I've got a conversation later on tonight with a chap who runs the Festival of Hope over in the States. And this is a large-scale event that's going to take place this year across the entire world. And he contacted me the other day and wanted to speak with me about, can we somehow join forces? And if we can, that would be absolutely marvellous. A story which is sort of to watch this space.
Oh, my gosh, that is very exciting, very exciting. Woo!
Apart from that, I've got a message in a bottle. Sounds like a song, doesn't it? But we've got a contact this morning I spotted on the internet that Roger Daltrey and Pete Townsend of The Who have just given $1 million to the Teenage Cancer Trust, which I'm familiar with because a friend of mine, Bernie Tormey, who's played with Ozzy Osbourne and Deep Purple's Ian Gillan, he has done quite a lot of work for the Teenage Cancer Trust. Well, they just put $1 million in. And we're trying to get hold of Roger and Pete Townsend to see if there's anything we can do to tie up with this project. We haven't got a direct link, so if anyone happens to have tea with them, then please get in touch. I do know that Roger's fond of fly fishing and lives down in Darkest Kent over here. I could go and crash through the barriers and say hi, but I don't know whether it would be well received. It would be much better if we got someone who knows them and can maybe speak a little bit on our behalf. So if any, yes, we do. They do say these days that we're only 6 phone calls away from anyone we want to talk to. So if anyone thinks they know someone that might know them, please get in touch. That would be very, very welcome. We've had a week of videos made by Albert and Yolanda. So we've got a website as well now. Embryonic website, no less, but nonetheless, we have a website as well. So it's been an incredibly busy week.
Okay, so first and foremost, the website name is?
Just for once in my life, it's another song. It's really simple. It's the same as the Facebook and the Twitter. It's www.beatworldcancer.com. And there's a little
which
bit
is
more
a wonderful site, an excellent job, I must say, by what you said, students. And thank you very much. Thank you to them for that. I'm so proud of their work.
Yes, two guys that attend a local college here. One of them happens to be my son, but that wasn't the trigger for it. Both of them needed work experience, and they hadn't managed to secure a job with a carpenter or a plumber or anything else around here. And the other guy sort of approached me and said, I need, you know, 5 days work experience. And he happened to be the friend of my son. I said, well, are you in with this as well? So the two of them have done, so that Michael and James have actually done a sterling job, and they did it very quickly as well.
Yes, and I have to say,
I can't do.
This is what I'm trying to get to people, is when you're, especially if you're young and you're a student, this project would be great on your resume. Any type of project like this, any volunteer work, any of that is, you know, it's a way to break out and make relationships, whether even like I encourage people getting on councils and boards and, you know, especially if you have any sort of talent to lend to a nonprofit, especially a good cause like ours. It's always a great resume builder. Okay, now to Pete Townsend. I have a friend in Oregon who has a private airstrip. If he wants to fly in, there's great fly fishing over there. But you know, maybe we could entice him with that. But I'm not sure if I'd have to call him and make sure that his airstrip is when he bought the property, the airstrip was there. It's a nice little private 80-acre property with plenty of fly fishing over there in a beautiful Gold Beach, Oregon. And even panning for gold. There's a lot of gold panners over there. But that would be so exciting if we could get more. I love those two. You know, the thing is that I don't know. I mean, my little brush with fame is so, you know, few and far between. Like, there's a picture of me pictured in the studio, the Lion's Share studio with David Foster, which I'm going to try to reach out to him. When I was 19 and I hung out with him, he went to college with my cousin, my second cousin, and he's a very, very nice guy. I'm hoping maybe he might pick up on it if I can get the word out through the word out. You know, my little run-ins with, you know, I partied with John Wayne's son, Ethan, and I'm trying to get the word out that way. And, you know, little things, I have people in the business and that do stuff, you know, like setting up, you know, in the background, because there's a lot of work to do with productions and performing arts and all that kind of stuff. And so there's people that
You've hit on such an important point there that people think, well, all I can do is a little thing. But actually, those with the internet, sometimes little things can actually become big things quite easily. So, you know, I think people shouldn't discount, think, well, all I can do is. That little thing sometimes multiplies in a wired world and a connected world. So even sharing, you know, the Facebook site or anything like that, all of that actually can add up to all sorts of things. So let's not fall into the trap of saying I can only do this little thing, because they all the small things, that sounds like a Blink-182 record, but all the small things do work.
I don't take myself too seriously because I'm not, you know, myself. I'm just, you know, I'm just a regular gal. But I mean, just from my own experience, I've met some really wonderful people. Like, look how I met you, and somehow I wind up on the LinkedIn After Dark VIP list, which, you know, I haven't done much in my life, but I'm honored. And nonetheless, and those are some great, great people that are there. And I encourage people to go on LinkedIn and you know, that's another a way for people to meet people and build their resume. And I'm all for people to, you know, because unfortunately, welcome to Earth where you will pay to live. You know, we have to make a living. And so I'm really a fan of the entrepreneurial spirit, and anything I could do to help, especially the young kids, flourish in that respect, whatever I could do to give them encouragement to not give up, keep on going. And I've known many of entrepreneurs who've you know, they've gotten up and back down and up, and you know, you just keep on, you keep it moving, baby.
So the two kids, my son and his friend Michael, the one thing they didn't do, which I've told them off about now in a nice way, is they didn't put their names on the website for having done it. And that's so
important.
So we're doing version two now, which is to fill up the spaces that are still empty. We've got one or two pages that need finishing and developing. But I just said, you haven't put your names on it. I said, that's no good.
Well, that will be great when they do. And then I'll get to mention, you know, on I'll be able to mention who they are as well and give them credence.
They have done a superb job in the small town. Things that I couldn't do, you know, like they put the Twitter feeds in, they graphically, I mean, it's not a busy website, but it's so much better than anything I could have done, which it proves that they've been learning something, I guess. But no, they do deserve praise for that. And I say it's beatworldcancer.com. That gives us a bit of a presence. It means that when we talk to people, they say, where's your website? You know, there it is now. So it's building almost by the minute. And by the middle of the week, I think it'll be pretty well, at a sort of good version one website. But also, there's a few other things that have happened. Over here, we have a journalist. He's more or less the top business journalist in the BBC. His name is Robert Pest, and I doubt that people over there will have necessarily heard of him, although he does appear on the BBC World Service from time to time. His wife a few years ago died of cancer, and it hit him very, very hard. I mean, to this day, really. And I know him through business connections and got taken to see George Clinton and Funkadelic, actually. And we got sort of to know each other through that. And I wrote a song for his departure from the BBC when he switched networks. And we called it Pestonomics because he was the economics editor of the BBC. And so he's agreed to sign some copies of a CD of this thing as part one of the offers on the Kickstarter website. And I doubt that he's got a lot of following over there. But we've had quite a lot of people who want to get a signed copy of Pestonomics over here, which is remarkable. So it was very kind of him to donate that time to that for us.
Yes, I do. I do. I love that song, by the way, and I'd like to play it if you don't mind. If I play that right now, it's a fun song, and the story behind it. I had to go and research who this guy is, anyway, I love the humor that you guys have, and I wish we had a little bit more humor over on this end of the pond. But here we go. This is Peter Cook's Pestonomics. And after this, we'll be right back.
The history of British obsession.
Robert Pesson, he's not from Preston. He did not star in those spaghetti westerns. BBC lost its intellectual property. While John Otway says, call baby, that's ITV. Pesson scored Bowie while Ziggy played guitar. Masterminding glam with his screwed down heart. Show called Clinton how to get the funk. Jamming good with sentence on the economics of punk. Keep your vest on, Robert Pesson. Give us another business lesson. Speaking like a linguistic jam session. Rocking in the television. The YTV enlarges its integrity while the BBC loses its license fee. Our fiduciary responsibility to shop wisely within our economy. Paul Weller's shop wave takes care of his hair, but on the 10 o'clock news, Pesson just don't care. He could have been Doctor Who, you see, by pressing RTB for his destiny. Keep your vest on, Robert Pesson. Give us another business question.
Thank you.
Bowie in Dresden. I'm confessing with Robert Peston. I'm wondering what ITV will let in question. No more have I got news for you to guest on. Perhaps Robert will retire to West Don. Superman, super hair, everywhere.
An imaginative new approach to television.
I just love that song, Peter. Oh my gosh. And you know, I think I'm just so grateful that he offered up that. That was what I was originally going to pledge on, but I had problems myself on the Kickstarter site. So then I thought, well, I tried a different feature, and so I wound up donating the same amount of money, but just on a different feature, mm-hmm. because I was testing to see, well, maybe it's the, you know, I was trying to trick the app and see if maybe it was, because it was certainly wasn't my credit card. So
I'm really hopeful that Kickstarter are working overtime this weekend to fix their website, because although it's unsayable, clearly, you know, I've had 10, 12 people writing to me, and they're just the ones that have bothered to write. And you've now told me you had a problem. Blaming the browser isn't going to get us. So I'm really hopeful that they're investigating.
I've been in the IT business for years, and it's always this, you know, it's sort of this, they don't want to, you know, they don't want to admit, you know, I've been a software developer, I've been a beta tester, I've been building computers, I've been fixing printers, I've been doing websites and all this kind of stuff forever. So the reality is that they have a brand that they're protecting, and of course they don't want to assume too much responsibility from a liability standpoint. But from our and it is true that the statistics are that 90% of the people will not tell you they've had a problem. They'll just move on. And if they're thinking that that this is already and it hurts our brand, it actually hurts our effort in a way, not in just a direct way, but in other ways. And so not to be a pest or to be pessimistic about the whole thing, I have a good feeling that regardless of this pitfall that we will, you know, the show will go on. The show must go on, and the show will go on.
I'm hopeful that what's going on inside Kickstarter this weekend is furious and sort of trying to fix it, whilst what goes outside is sort of saying everything's in hand. I don't mind them telling me that, but I'm rather hopeful that what's going on inside the factory is actually, my goodness, let's fix this, because there have been quite a few reports. But coming back to Pestonomics, the song is very Anglo-centric, I must say, and slightly ironic about, and it has lots of in-jokes about Mr. Peston's hair and other features of the man. It works so much better, and there's a YouTube video out there if people really want to look at it. And I think all you have to do is dial in Pestonomics and probably Academy of Rock on Google. I'm sure you'll get to YouTube and find the video. And it's a homemade video. I'll apologize for that. So it's not beautifully edited. But nonetheless, it works even better with a video. It's also on iTunes, although it's not part of the pledge. But it's part of a package which I know you've written to me earlier today, which I'd called it Sexonomics in the package. And the reason why was you were saying, is it something sinister? No, it's not. It's just my rather poor Anglo-Saxon sense of humour. There are three songs that sort of, you know, deeply ironic songs about economics, Pestonomics being one of them. And the other two I wrote with a chap who used to work at the Bank of England. So he likes to be in a rock band. So there were three economic songs. And then I wrote one reversing the sexual dynamics of Prince's relationships with his he's sort of people that like him. So I sort of wrote this rather deeply perverse song about Prince being hit on by other people of unknown gender. And then the final song is about my friend who's had a gender reassignment. So we faced the problem when we did this with the guys that did it. I said, what are you going to call it? And I said, well, there's three songs about economics. There's one about gender reassignment. There's one about having sex with Prince. And I said, Sexonomics? And they said, that's it. He said, what is the band called? And I thought, Money, Sex, Rock and Roll. I said, the Sex Catalysts. And they said, brilliant. I said, that's rubbish. I said, that's rubbish name. And they said, no, that's it. Dumb.
Oh, I love it.
Inquiring as to what was the thinking process. It was very limited is the answer. Down to a few seconds.
I love it. I love it, though. I do. And I have to say, first of all, sex is a beautiful thing. And I've told you this before, that if we don't have, our lymph system, which is where most cancers live, our lymph system suffers when we don't have sex. I have to tell you that. It's a scientific fact. Now, on the other hand, it's part of reality. This is how we make babies. This is how we have everlasting life in the physical form, so to speak. But, I think I was just wondering, from a standpoint, and it is a $6 trillion business, sex in general. So it's a fact of life, and I don't have any inhibitions in that, in that area. My only thing is I would never endorse forced sex on anybody or in any way, shape or form. But I love that title. It's awesome. I think it's quite funny. And so I wasn't quite sure what it meant. That's why I was just going, oh no, what have I gotten myself into?
I think it took us about 30 seconds to think the title up. We've probably spent longer discussing it than it took to think up. But, I didn't think of the consequences of how people might read The Sex Catalysts. But I'm now, of course, I've got to live with that now.
Yeah.
Because, so it's part of a package which is on iTunes. Very strange economic songs. And one very funky song about Prince, which I wrote in his honour. Let's say there is the CD on the Kickstarter project signed by Mr. Peston himself, who's a bit of a rock star, and there's a massive David Bowie fan, which is why there's a segue of Bowie songs in the middle of the song. There's a series of early Bowie songs referenced in there, The Man Who Sold the World and various other things, which I did in his honour, really, when I wrote the song for him.
Yeah, I even noticed a little bit of Charlton Heston in there, and he, Soylent Green is our biggest, the biggest thing where it's made out of people. I mean, but anyway, among other works of his, but I look at what you write, especially that song, the tribute to Prince. I saw all the nuances in there. I love it. I mean, there are people out there who, I know language is powerful, and on the sex capitalist, I see the title and the trouble with that, because I'm not one for human trafficking, sex trafficking. That's not, although,
I think we did decide not to call ourselves the sex traffickers. I think that was probably a more dangerous name.
Yeah, it's a good thing.
I shouldn't make fun of it, but...
No, I'm not in any way, shape, or form. Trust me, I'm one who is, everybody knows me to speak out against that. And although I do realize that some people who want to be in that business, that is their choice, but those forced into it, that's a whole nother, area that, whatever. Very touchy thing.
I don't think you can play the Prince song because it has expletives in it on the radio. We did make one with bleeps in it. I used titles of Prince's songs to join them up into a conversation between him and another person.
Oh,
so all the lines that you probably worked out are made out of Prince titles. I was careful to avoid lyrics because obviously I'll be sued. But I did.
Did you ever get a response from Prince regarding that song by any chance?
No, I don't suppose he's even heard it. But there we go. But it was a nice thing to do, and it was in his honour in the sense that I put the music in the style of his music and played the guitar in his, you know, using some of his ornaments and other things. So it was done in the best possible taste. Although I'm not entirely sure he would appreciate the idea of him being, you know, the one tied up and being put upon by the people. It's nothing nothing less than he deserves.
He came out with a song about something like "She Loves Rock and Roll" and "Make Her Scream" kind of a thing. And this is when I broke out on the scene with the tea parties, and people were trying to say tea parties were racist and whatever. And my thing is that people don't realize that I'm not partisan or anything like that, but they didn't know who I was from Adam. And all of a sudden I break out on the scene and I throw this rally and over 7,500 people show up and they don't know how I accomplished it because nobody knew who I was. And it was because nobody was really in tune to the online scene at that time. And so they were used to having this physical control, mind control of people. And I had been working across the country and across the globe with other people regarding some things that we were feeling, you know, we were feeling a little bit about where we're, you know, actually the younger generation. And we've got these old people farting dust that are in office that are, you know, we have this baby boomer, folks are going to be dropping like flies, and they have to turn over the reins to us, and they don't want to admit that, but they won't live forever. And so we have to have people who are critical thinkers that are, you know, that are going to be taking over the helm, and we want to see, you know, get more people involved in the process. And although we have what the open border people would love to see more of, we have a sustainability problem. Sustaining all these harebrained ideas is going to take a strong economy. And so that's where I come in and say we need more entrepreneurs, and we need more industry to sustain all these grand ideas that people have. And although there are people, well, I don't like this, and I don't like communists, I don't like socialists, I don't like capitalists, I don't like that. It's like, look, we coexist already, people. Get over yourselves. Let's just do it harmoniously. It all works together. We've all been here since the beginning of time, like it or not. It's not like we all came from another planet. Well, maybe some of us have, but we're here. Therefore, we belong. And so we're going to make it work one way or another. I mean, with you, with or without you, another song title. That's just the way it goes.
Yeah,
but we do, right here today, we're fighting cancer, and we're going to beat world cancer, right, Peter?
Yeah, well, coming back to that whole business of not being in anyone's particular pocket, I've had various approaches across the few weeks that this has been going from different cancer organisations. And, you know, they do, to some degree, although they all want to solve the problem, of course, they want to align you to their brand. And there is a difficulty there because you can't actually achieve a world vision by, you know, going into a corner with any one organisation. So I'm trying to sort of remain a bit like Prince and not be aligned to any one thing at the moment. But I do realise that probably eventually we're going to have to settle who wants to be the participating organisations. But I've had people saying that they want to sort of be to own it, and not own it, but sort of own the idea. And there we can't then cover the ground. So it's a very difficult position to play, and so I'm not really talking particularly about politics here, but we have to be bigger than politics. If we're, you know, vote for my party or this party or that party, we have to do this in a way that brings people together, which is very, very hard indeed.
Well, I look at it this way. Here's a metaphor. The way that I approach this is, it's an operating system, And just like Windows or other operating systems like Linux or Ubuntu or whatever, they allow several applications to coexist within, and they all sort of work together. And if they didn't, well, then of course we wouldn't even be having any devices. So from that aspect, we're this particular project is like the operating system, and those who want to you know, benefit from this will hopefully you know, be in a value of the project in a way that where it's more beneficial to remain non-hostile to the other applications.
Absolutely, yes. Well, speaking of people who are, I'm not voting in your election, but someone did ask me just recently if I could write an amusing little song about Mr. Trump. so I'm doing that tonight.
Finishing it tonight. Please be gentle, because, you know, when I was little, I have to admit, I wanted to be a female Donald Trump. I mean, I'm not proud of this, but I did. I wanted to, you know, and I was going to go into international business. I was going to learn several languages. There were so many things I was going to do. I even wanted to, you know, so many things. But from that aspect of it, I did, you know, but now that I've grown up and realized that less is more, as far as I'm concerned, and that the less overhead you have, the less hustle you have to do to keep it up, you know. So I'm actually I'm in the less is more camp nowadays. But, you know, so go easy on the Trumpster.
You mentioned entrepreneurship, and of course, allegedly Donald Trump is an entrepreneur. So yeah, I just want to sort of square that off, really, because I'm inviting him to, you know, to bankroll this entire project.
That would be awesome.
One of the conditions, however, is that he gives up politics.
Oh my gosh!
I don't think he
would, because unfortunately, to be in the business that he's in, politics is absolutely necessary. This is the way it is. I mean, if you even know what it's like to get a permit in New York or anywhere, as a matter of fact. But I mean, wherever he is, and you know, most of his businesses are hospitality. And they're not, besides casinos, but I mean, there's a lot of people who, you know, the Native Americans have casinos. They don't mind making, you know, taking our money from an addiction either. So I think there's a little bit of, and those people seem to be more hostile to the Trumpsters. But I think the reality is that, you know, on the other hand, we have these other folks who will pretend that they're not capitalizing. And in most, like, if you see behind every communist, there's a capitalist. I mean, it's so you're looking at who's capitalizing on these things. There's always that, or behind every revolution, there's a dictator. I mean, it's always this thing, this flow. And of course, keeping people busy, keeping people out of trouble, managing the globe, the ugly underbelly. There's always that margin of error that we'd like to see narrow more, you know, where everybody's thriving or everybody is, you know, because I don't myself like to see anybody suffer. I just, it actually hurts the core of my being to see people suffering, but I can't myself do any, you know, I can only do a little bit here and there. And I'm certainly not in any position to, I barely can help myself. I mean, here, sometimes I put everything before myself, and I wind up going, gosh darn it, had I put all that energy into my, you know, it's like put your own oxygen mask on first before you save others, kind of a thing. So there's this balance, and it's a constant maintenance. It's a constant,
I agree with that. I think I do think we would be a much better around the world if we forgot ourselves a bit more. You know, as you say, you need to look behind everything to see what's there. But I do wish Mr. Trump would line up a bit, actually. And we have a children's television program called Trumpton over here, which involves little characters bumping into one another in a comedic way. And I wish I'd, you know, rather than sort of pummeling people in boxing rings, I think Mr. Trump ought to watch a bit more Trumpton and learn to, you know, lighten up a bit would be good. And that would be true of all politicians. And they could all
Yeah, to be fair, he, you know, the ties that others have and what they give to charity, I mean, when it proves out, he's given a lot. And he's actually helped some of these other candidates along the way. He might have the widest circle of influence out of all of them. Unfortunately, Ted Cruz doesn't have a wide circle of influence. And so I'm hoping that whoever does, you know, because we actually, contrary to what people believe, we don't choose the president, the Electoral College does. And so whoever does make it to be the next president, hopefully they're focused on building our economy so that we can sustain our coyote Congress's desire to bring in more people, because they get paid to do that. They get paid to bring in workers. And my problem is I don't like to see those workers abandoned. One of the projects that I worked on here locally, which is why I'm Goodwill Ambassador on LinkedIn for Minneapolis, is that when they are here and they lose their job, they're targeted by their own people, targeted for crimes. They can't swim home. No. It's a total horrendous place to be when you find yourself in a foreign country and you have no resources. It's a terrible place to be. And so for that, I'd say, okay, maybe I should get into the coyote insurance business. And this way, these people who are bringing them here and getting paid to bring them here, like our congressmen and our government, Department of Ag, Labor, and all the unions and all that they put in a pool of money to help these folks get home so that they're not stranded here. It's absolutely inhumane. And then on the other hand, we have people coming in from these other areas, even through Canada. We even have Canadians coming in, by God. But we have people coming in who are getting injured, who are being pimped out, and who are being trafficked. This is human trafficking. And some of them don't fare well. We've had train cars where people were suffering and died. We have people, you know, all kinds of stuff that goes around this that, you know, a tremendous amount of room for improvement here. People sitting in jail that have been put in jail, they don't even get an attorney. They're just stuck there. It's like prison camps, and these are prisons for profit. So we have it's a complex situation, and if people take Trump's words out of, you know, Trump saying this wall, he's pandering to people because he knows that they're coming in tunnels and through the private airports. He knows that Congress is bringing them in. He knows all this stuff, but he's just pandering with, like, Obama panders, like Hillary panders, like Bernie panders. They say these little sound bites, but in reality, they really know what's going on. It's just that the general public is sort of, you know, they don't really know the complexity of the thing. And I myself would like a more humane immigration. Migration is a fluid thing, and people lose their status or they, you know, all the time. It's one of those fluid things that is constant. We've been migrating forever. People, humans have. And so we must have, you know, by now, if we really want to keep funding evolution, if you want your evolution dollars, prove to me that you can evolve by creating a humane migration policy, please. And that's my soapbox on that note.
Absolutely. We're going to continue to have politicians, but they need to reach higher and connect around the world, that my thing is that all politicians have an angle. This thing must avoid, if we can, too much politics and keep focused on the goal, which is to, you know, accelerate an end towards cancer, really. So anyway, Mr. Trump will survive my song. Like, I think he's survived far worse things than that. So He might even enjoy it. You never know.
Well, he does have a sense of humor. Hopefully he won't target me because of your song, though. I mean, you know, he's a powerful guy. I don't want to get on anybody's under anybody's where the rubber hits the road on that. But no, I can't wait to hear it. I'm sure it'll be funny. I'm sure it'll be funny.
Just struggle
okay.
With the rest of the words. Anyway, let's get back to the
What we want people to do, though, is to go to the Facebook group, which you can type in on the Facebook search, Beat World Cancer, all one word. Join the Twitter feed. Go to beatworldcancer.com. Pledge on the Kickstarter. Ask your friends to pledge, because like Peter will explain in a second, what it takes to, and what the first phase of this project is. And regardless, the show will go on. We'll always, I believe, Peter and I, in our own ways, will always be tuned into this, and regardless of how this goes. And of course, like he already mentioned, there are a tremendous amount of people working on this constantly. But Peter, what is the purpose of phase one?
The purpose of phase one is to put some boots on the ground, a small startup enterprise probably we're going to need people to make a lot of noise around the world. So we need some people who are very good at PR and marketing, some other fundraisers, some people to deal with bands and artists, and probably an accountant and a few other things. But we're going to need a small office of people that are going to work sort of tirelessly on this for the forthcoming year, and that's what phase one is for. Phase two, we calculated very badly on the back of a cigarette packet. I've got to use the word cigarette packet over there instead of fag packet, which could be misunderstood. But we wrote down on the back of a cigarette packet some rough calculations, and I looked back to Live Aid and found that 2 billion people watched that. Program is to sort of stage thousands of concerts and stream them all, and people could then look at them into the future and pay an amount per view or for the whole lot. And if we assumed an average amount of consumption on 2 billion views, the sort of actual calculated amount that could arise for cancer causes could be something like 50 billion as a simple conservative estimate of what's possible. So we need £200,000, but the phase two is to raise an absolute fortune to be donated to various different causes, some of them short-term, some of them long-term. We need to balance the types of organisations. We don't want to get stuck into one particular cancer, but we do need to do things that will produce early results and some things that will be later. We're not adhered to any particular therapies or it's not to do with pharmaceuticals in particular or indeed homeopathy in particular. We would want to spread that around where the best benefit would come. So we need £200,000 in the next 2 weeks, and from then on the team would be devoted to putting on thousands of concerts around the globe to collect a much bigger sum of money, which would go directly to the to different organisations and charities and other things concerned.
Well, and not to get on the Trump bandwagon, but Alex Jones has a show here. He's one of those people that is a controversy, but he talks about Trump in a way that he says, because Alex Jones has these products that are helping, these holistic products, vitamins and DNA boosters and iodine, whatever, all kinds of healthy products on his website. But he has said that Trump has come out and said that he's for these alternative approaches, and that he understands these things, which I don't know. I don't know if that, according to his his best buddy that these things are true. So we'll see. But I can't, like I said, I can't control who gets in because it's the Electoral College who does that. And even though we sit here and fight and we pretend like, you know, because these caucuses, like we found out in Minnesota, we were locked out. Hundreds of people showed up and were turned away. We only had an hour window to get, you know, so that's one of the problems. The other problem is that even in the caucus or primaries, even though our votes are not being counted and we're disenfranchised that way, the popular vote, contrary to what people believe, does not pick the POTUS, and that so whoever is chosen, you know, I'm hoping that they're open-minded enough. And like sometimes I hear Hillary Clinton say, oh, we want to crack down on this stuff, people who are addicted. Well, people are addicted because they're in pain. And because some of these doctors got them to this point, they got them to this point and then abandoned them. And so the point is I don't like to see people suffering, and doctors' job is to mitigate suffering as well as, you know, what they're supposed to be besides practicing medicine. They're supposed to be healing people. We forgot healing people. And so we're looking for, if you can't heal people, you don't injure them or you don't further injure them. Or if you did, why should people pay for that? Why can't we see less suffering? And where is it that people get off on watching people suffer or cause people suffering? We don't really, in my circle of friends, we don't honor that at all. And we look to help alleviate suffering if we can. And so that's the premise that I come from, the convalescent, the prevention of cancer in general, because there are a lot of people who are living in yachts and mansions based on products that actually cause cancer. And so we'd like to see that some of those things from a standpoint, and yes, a lot of it has to do with habits, bad habits. So prevention, and then on the other end of it, to alleviate suffering, which would be more on the convalescent side of it. And then, of course, your focus is on the cure and the research or research for alternative methods. And then, of course, there's all the controversy around the current Western model, which is a standard that some, you know, that has some controversy tied to it, which, you know, that in itself is a, you know, it a large crowd of people are concerned about that. And so hopefully we, like I said, it's a multi-pronged, complex situation. And if we can see less people suffer and more people healed, that would be awesome.
Indeed. I mean, that's worth fighting for, I think. So it's just a case of seeing how far we can go with it. But just to remind people, the Kickstart the project is easily findable on Google. If you go on to Kickstarter and put in Life Aid, it comes up. If Life Aid, that is, rather than Live Aid. If people can find it just as easily by going to beatworldcancer.com and the website, which, as I say, is being finished probably whilst we speak, and it should be up there in full in a day or two's time. So,
Any way you can help, even if you're just able to share the link, we prefer getting the Kickstarter the goal accomplished, and we prefer moving into phase two. But any way you can help at all, just spreading the word. And like Peter says, 6 degrees of separation. We're only 6 degrees from where we need to be. And so with your help, a little help from a friend, and like I say, you can earn your wings. What is that? Sir Paul McCartney is backing the Rock Against Cancer, which is the inaugural event over there in, how do you say that, Devizes or what? In UK, Devizes. I don't know.
A small village in Wiltshire, which is off the map as far as most people know in England. But it's a very nice little village, actually. I actually camped there one time about 30 years ago. It's got a whole load of pubs in the village. perfect for overnight camping.
Mm.
So,
wow.
Well, just outside
the village supply. My grandfather came from Leeds, and although, you know, I have family from Ireland and family from Sweden and family from Italy, it's like, I think that's what they call bipolar, but we'll, you know, we'll make it work with, you know, as far as this global effort, and I'm so grateful for the internet for this, because I've made so many friends across the globe. And although I haven't been on the radio for some time, I had amassed a large following when we created a network, which I thought was liberty in the sense, in the different sort of sense of liberty. And it turned out a whole nother gig, and so I had to break off from that. But I'm like I'm a type of person who I like to. I don't know. I think we have such a beautiful planet. And that every culture adds value. And if we were all the same, oh my gosh, it would be horrible. And so I actually embrace our differences, and I love it. And I hope that we could keep creativity alive in that way, because oh God forbid we're all the same. Oh, that'd be horrible. Anyway, oh my gosh.
I do have to retreat to another call in a moment.
Yes,
so,
I was going to say, we don't have you for much longer, so how would you like to close that out?
I don't know. Do we want to close with it? Have you got any songs left, or have we used them all up?
Oh, I'm sorry. What did you say?
Have we any songs left, or have you used
them
all
yeah,
up?
No. We'll, I'll go ahead and, well, I have just the two loaded that I was able to get, and I was trying to figure out how to get those other songs from you and convert them. So I apologize. I'll just play Patty Russo's open.
No. Okay. Well, actually, before you go then, thank you so much for the time we spent on here today. And say I'm hoping that Kickstarter are working overtime tonight to sort that website out. But in the meantime, please, 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 if you go on to Kickstarter and you don't succeed, please try again or tell me what's happening so that they can learn, because they won't know unless we tell them. But I think they've realised now that there's something not quite working there. But it works some of the time, so we can be lucky. And we just need a big piece of luck to take us over the finishing line now.
Yes, indeed. And thank you so much, Peter, for coming on today. And with that, I'll let you go. And
we'll just
keep on working. We'll just keep it going.
And let's make one door open.
Okay, I'm sorry. Peter was breaking up there. So, well, good luck to Peter and what he's moving on to today. And what we'll do, I'll go ahead and end the show with One Door Opens by Patty Russo. And then by the time I have the next show, I'll have the other audio files up that Peter had shared. It's just that I have a bit of I don't have a lot of technology myself to convert the song, so I had to work that out with Peter later on. But here's One Door Open by Patty Russo. We'll see you next time on this effort of ours, Beat World Cancer, Academy of Rock London, information at beatworldcancer.com, and join you can do about it. Thank you.
the day. Kept on falling on my face again, but I learned along the way. I could have went down that road, that would have been easy. Nobody would have thought any more or any less of me. I fought